So what I wrote on the board this evening is the word discernment. And I'd like to start off reading a verse in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that is my thoughts this evening, to discern good and evil. How are we discerning good and evil? How is our spiritual discernment being exercised? Are we taking the time to really look into things, or are we taking things at face value? These things will impact our soul. When this thought came to me, a thought came to me that how many folks have ever been out in the woods, either in the twilight or later in the dark, where you really don't have light you can see from the sun, or if there is light, the tree canopy is such that you can't really tell which direction is the sun, which direction is the moon. You can't see the stars. The tree canopy's thick. And how would you try to discern which direction was north or south or east or west if you were in that predicament? You know, what would you do? Obviously, one of the things here in the northern hemisphere we would say is, well, find the North Star. What if you can't see the North Star? What if there's something blocking your view of the North Star? In the southern hemisphere, you would say the Southern Cross, the constellation on that side. You would say, well, locate that. If you can locate the Southern Cross, you can at least find south. And once again, once you've determined south, you should be able to determine the rest of the polar coordinates. But in this situation, you can't see the sky either. You still can't see it. There's tricks that are taught to folks in the Boy Scouts, in the military, or things like that, where if you have a wristwatch, how to take your wristwatch and point things at the sun using the hour hands and stuff, and based on that, you can determine north and south and east and west, but you can't see the sun. There's also a method where you can just take a stick and put it in the ground, and you watch the tip of the shadow move, and you draw a line, and that establishes your east-west line, and then from there you can also choose to determine the rest of the directions. But in this situation, we don't have that. That doesn't work. Now, these are all normally valid ways to discern what directions are which when you're out in the wilderness, if you don't have a compass or some of our GPSs today, where you're just needing to determine what is the proper way I'm trying to go, how to make sure I'm going in the right direction. So how many of us has ever heard the saying, well, go look at the moss on trees and rocks? You know, there is a saying that moss only grows on the north side of trees. Would you say that's a true statement or a false statement? Well, I did do some searching on the internet. I've heard that as a boy growing up, that one way to tell north was to look at the moss growing on a tree. It would be growing on the north side of a tree. If you search the internet and talk to people, you'll find that there's some people say, oh, yes, that's true. The moss will always be on the north side of the tree. You'll have some say, no, it's not true. Moss grows on all sides of the tree. Then you're going to have others that say, well, actually it depends. Because there's circumstances that you have to understand to know how to apply what you're looking at. So one of the circumstances you must understand is that moss grows in areas that are moist and shaded. So any area that is moist and shaded is going to grow moss if it's where it can get there. And that is true. So how does that help us discern the north? Well, in the northern hemisphere, the way the sun shines on the planet, it is true that the north side of the tree is normally shaded. So if you were to walk around and start looking at the trees here in the northern hemisphere, now in the southern hemisphere, it's the south side of the tree that you would find the moss on. But in the northern hemisphere, you would be able to notice that there is potentially going to be moss on the north side. Now, I took some time this afternoon to walk around the property and look at the trees. I was curious, you know, because obviously folks have said you can't rely on this. Others said you could, so I decided to do a walk through the property to see what did I find. And what I found is you have to apply what you know carefully. You have to have your full understanding applied. There were trees that when I walked up to them on the property, they had moss on all sides, all the way around the tree, up, out over the branches. There were others that the moss was on the east side. Some the moss was on the north side, some on the south, some on the west. So what do we do? How do we discern? So I started looking closer at these trees to see, is there a way, is there something that I could see that would say what would be north? And thinking, keeping in mind, well, what does it require for moss to grow? Well, shade and moisture. So as I was looking at that, I'm looking at trees, and the one tree that had moss pretty much growing all around it, it's the big old live oak. It's nice canopy. How often do you think the sun truly shines on the trunk of that tree? Probably only at very limited times in the day that it can even get a ray down there, which would explain why it had moss everywhere. So then I stepped back and started looking at the trees. There were some trees that were out away from others. Those trees didn't help me that much sometimes, because looking at the trees, there was no moisture. They didn't have any moss. Walking around the property, I started noticing there were some trees, however, that were close to a clump of trees but separated. They had moisture. And on those trees, every one of them I checked, the moss was on the north side. Now, if I would have just taken the first tree I came to, which happened to be the big live oak, you know, I could have said, well, there's no way to really use moss to determine the direction. So I can throw that out. But that one sampling, that one investigation wouldn't have been a complete picture. By looking all around the different sides of the trees and looking at them, I was able to even start noticing, even on the live oak. The more I pondered the live oak and the more I walked around it and looked at it, the moss on the north side of the live oak looked to be almost an inch thick, compared to the moss that was anywhere from a quarter to a half inch thick on the other side of the tree. It almost looked like a shaggy carpet in places on the north. On many of the other trees, when I would look at them, I would notice, okay, this tree, it appears to be on the east side of the tree where the moss is at. Well, if you look, there's a shade tree there. Okay, well, that would explain why that one's on the side. There's sun that gets to it on this side. By being able to look at the trees and really look at them, if you study carefully, even that tree where it was on the east side, it actually was more on the northeast side. There was none of them that were actually just on one side. They all leaned towards the north. And I started realizing with focus, with carefulness, with making sure to observe carefully what I was looking at, and understanding how moss grows, what's the requirements for it to be, I feel like one could pretty consistently determine north by looking at the moss. Now, you're not going to do it with just looking at one tree. You have to look at multiples. Now, how does this apply to our spiritual lives? So let's go to 1 Kings. Chapter 3, starting in verse 11. Now this is God talking to Solomon. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for long life, for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. We see here that God was very pleased with Solomon's request for discernment. Solomon wanted to be able to understand, said, Lord, help me to take the knowledge and wisdom that you give and apply it correctly. Help me to look deeply into things, to not just look at the surface and make a snap judgment, but to look beyond. And God rewarded him for it. But there was also tragedy with that. We have the story of Solomon's wisdom, how he had two mothers come before him, one claiming that the child was hers, the other both claiming the child was theirs, and finally he said, okay, well, bring me a sword. I'm going to cut the child in half. And of course, the true mother said, no, let the other woman have it. Good wisdom, great discernment. But his heart was turned. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11, starting in verse 4. And it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, and at the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. So we see here a man full of wisdom and discernment given to him by God. But in his latter days, he wasn't exercising it. Up in Hebrews, it said we should exercise our judgment. We should apply it. We shouldn't let it wane. We need to be careful that we don't let discernment slip. That we begin taking things that sound good or that sound like, yes, that matches up with what I understand, with what I know. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We have spirits in this world that are vying for us. These spirits are trying for our attention. They want us to say, yes, that is what we should be doing as Christians. How are we applying discernment to them? Are we measuring them up against the teachings of the Word, up against the teachings of Christ and His doctrines? Or do we say, yes, that sounds really good. That sounds right. Sometimes we might think that because it sounds right, it is right. But you know, oftentimes, that's not the case. Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 23. Matthew 24:23. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now here we have Christ himself. This is Christ speaking. His words warning, there's going to be deceptions in the world, that they're going to attempt to portray their deception as Christ himself. Something that if we were a believer, how could you claim to be a believer and not follow this? Aren't you a Christian? And Christ here is saying, be careful. The world will try to spin things and label it Christian, put a tag on it, to get you to say, oh yes, I am a Christian. So I must follow that. We need to remember, Jesus said, check the word. Be careful. You know, the moss on the tree, it'll almost look right sometimes. You walk up, oh, that's the thick moss on that side of the tree. But do you step back and look to see, okay, now where's the shade hitting this tree? Are there other plants that could cause the moss to be on the northeast corner of the tree? Maybe the northwest corner. There's things that we need to look at. Can we discern, why would the moss be growing there? Is there a reason why there may be no moss on the north side of a tree? Maybe we need to look at another tree to determine, you know, there's something hindering the light from getting where it would be to help me make a proper determination. Thinking under that live oak, initial glance, it would look like the whole tree's covered in moss. So you have to back up and say, okay, where's the sun? Where would the sunlight get in? Where could I see? What would show me where the proper view of this is? 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. These are things we need to be very careful with. This is our souls that are at stake. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's a concerning thing if you think about it, trying to determine if you're going to make it to heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 through 23 says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to prove all things. This is the scripture here. It doesn't say prove just some things. Prove the big things. It says prove all things. If we think back to the Bereans that were mentioned in the scripture, it says the Bereans were considered more noble. But why were they considered more noble? Everybody that was being preached to was believing. But the Bereans were considered more noble because in addition to taking in the word of God and accepting it, it says they went to the word to see if what was preached was so. They said, okay, we're going to apply some discernment here. We're going to exercise ourselves because our eternal soul is at stake. And we don't want to be misled. We don't want to miss out. We don't want to pass up the good news, the gospel. But we want to make sure that we're on the right path, because this decision is for eternity. You know, I mentioned it before, there's many things in the world today that are tagging themselves as Christian. Brother Chad in his study the other night mentioned many of them. The doctrines in the world that really, when you dig into the scripture, they don't line up. They're not really in alignment. If you look at the moss, so to speak, it's not growing right. Something's not where it should be. So we need to be very careful and examine those things. We need to examine everything. I want to end with a verse from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. I want to challenge us in the world today we live in, that will throw things at you, will throw what's called facts and stats and everything, and they will challenge the very things in the Bible. Go to the Word. Look after it. Don't be a simple man that just says, oh, a scientist said this, so I must believe it. Or a preacher said this, I must believe it. What needs to be believed is the Word of God. We don't live by bread alone, right? But by every word that came out of the mouth of the Lord. That's where we need to focus. That's where we need to exercise discernment to make sure we're partaking of the right things. You all pray for me.